great Sunday school. Looking forward to a great worship service. And I remember when I was little kids, was so excited to see it snow, and I found myself still excited Friday, but by Friday night, I had had enough. I was in good shape till the power went off. And I know Pat was bragging about how she's had power. She's the only one on her road. No, I'm thankful she does. We're, of course, continue to remember those guys out working. I know I mentioned this morning, I said, well, I hadn't saw a power company truck on my road yet, but I'm not the only one that's without power. So I know those guys are working hard as they can, and let's pray for them and help them if we get opportunity. And there was a bunch of them in the parking lot this morning when we come in. We got here a little early. And I told Stephanie, I said, I'm thankful, you know, that they're here and that they're ready to work. So let's lift them up in prayer. Do we have any more prayer requests? I know we mentioned several times. Can you remember those that's in our communities that don't have any power, don't have any heat? I'm thankful for the people that open their doors and homes to those that don't have, so they can come be with them. We was able to go to Carrollton last night to get cleaned up a little bit, or we've been smelling pretty rough coming in this morning, but thankful for that. Have any more? Anything I'm forgetting? Anybody?
Remember Ken goes back for, starts chemo and radiation this time. It's the first time with radiation, so remember. Amen.
Do we have any others? No others, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come again thanking you for this day. God, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we ask this morning that you'll be in our presence as we go into our worship hour. God, I want to again ask prayer for all those that's working out in this. God, I ask that you bless them. Father, I ask that you just keep them safe, Lord, as they struggle to get us electricity and dear Father, all those things that we need. Lord, I ask you to be with our church today, Lord. Father, as we go into this Christmas season, that we'll truly see the meaning of what it's about, Father, and the gifts that you sent us. And Lord, we're so thankful for that today. God, I ask you to ever be in our presence, Lord, but every single time we meet here, that you'll show up and be with us. And God, I ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the second week of Advent, we focus on peace. In John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Peace, reveal yourself to us today. We need peace in our lives, our homes, our families, our church, and our whole world. Help us to slow down and seek out the peace you provide, so we may become peacemakers for ourselves and others. In your name, Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Stand and join us in our call to worship.
Sinners ready. A chance of life. Be your holiness, Lord of glory.
tell me I'm going to have to follow that. Puts the pressure on. Now, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord again. You probably heard preachers say a lot, as you've been around many, about being kept up at night about a message. And I really never have until the other night. I had went to bed with the church on my heart, was praying for certain things, and God began putting messages upon my heart about when God showed up. When God showed up. So Lord's will, from now until Christmas, which is not far away, we're going to be preaching a series of messages about when God showed up. And I promise you something that you're going to see through this, that God, when God shows up, changes are made. When God shows up, things change for the better. Things begin to take on a different look, a different feel, and everything is different when he shows up. And I thought, well, Lord, why at this time? Why at Christmas time do we need this? Well, Christmas time is when God really showed up and when God really made a difference in our lives. And today, and turn your Bibles, Pat, this is going to be an easy one for you. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. You don't even have to hunt. We don't even need those tabs that we've paid extra money for in our Bible. But Genesis chapter 1, this is, I remember back a time when I was just had started preaching not very long, and I'd been somewhere that morning and was coming home, and a friend of mine called and said, "Can you preach for me tonight? It's a little church over close to us on a dirt road." And I thought, well, surely there won't be many people there, but Lord, I still need a message. And immediately God put a message on my heart in Genesis chapter 1 about how the creation of the world is a very clear picture of a man being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. How it's just a picture of how this thing was without form and void and darkness and exactly like a lost life is. But today I hope we'll see in this that when God showed up, you know, as a pastor, Paul began thinking about what can we do for our church? What can we do to make our church better for the Lord? What can we do for our community to make it better for the Lord? And how can I get the people to show up? How can I get people to get excited? And Lord, put this message on my heart. And I didn't go to sleep till about 3 o'clock. And Lord help, I don't know if I want that again, Paul. I say I want the Lord to speak to me, but it was about 3 o'clock before I went to sleep. And I was so excited about these messages. And then the snow came. I said, oh, Lord, I got this message on my heart. And if I don't tell somebody, I'm going to burst. If I don't tell somebody, I got to tell somebody about this thing. And the sun come out yesterday, and I called these men who was involved with the city, and they said, the roads are pretty clear. There's those that don't have power. And I said, we'll just deal with them smelling. It don't matter. We'll just come on out to the house of God. And I told some of them this morning, just to be completely honest, I know a lot of people canceled church because it didn't have power, and I completely understand. And many trees is down and all. But I thought, well, Lord, do we want to cancel or what to do? And be honest with you, I was bored. I want to see some new faces. That's why we're here this morning. But no, honestly, let's come this morning and worship the Lord. I know when our crowds are small, we tend to think, well, this is just another day. Let's just go through it. Let's get on to the restaurant and eat. But today, I really want you to worship in spirit and truth. Today, I want you to take this time that you've been given to worship God. This is a gift you've been given today to be able to be here. We didn't even have to dress up and look pretty. We got to put on warm clothes and come out to the house of God. But today is my prayer from now until Christmas and from now on forever that when we meet in this place that God will show up. That God will show up. Genesis chapter number 1. Chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. We'll go through verse 2. It said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your Spirit. God, I pray that you fill each one of us here today with that Holy Spirit. God, I pray that we leave here saying truly it was good to be in the house of God. Father, I pray we leave here different than when we came in. I pray we leave here saying what a blessing it is when God shows up. Lord, we thank you for all this and all these blessings. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Did you realize when I began reading this that the first thing you'll see is in the beginning God? And I've heard this preached, I've heard it taught, and I've seen it in Bible college, and this is the most important verse in the Scripture. You say, well, you say all of them most important, and they are. But listen, if you can get past verse number 1 of Genesis chapter number 1, you ought to have no more problem believing anything in the Bible. Because if you believe in the beginning God, then brother, you can believe anything about God. First, you've got to believe that he is and that he is who he says he is. The Scripture tells us that. Before you can believe the good things of Jesus Christ, you must believe that God the Father was in the beginning. And I believe he was. I began studying this and began studying about a creation. And man, if you read behind many different writers, they believe that sometime in eternity past, a great war had taken place. They say it's evident from all of our planets and everything in the universe that there was a war had took place at some point. And we know that's true according to the scripture. But I want you to think about it at this point here. The Bible says that the earth was without form. Without form. And I begin looking at that without form, again thinking about it, and you look up the original Hebrew word for form means tohu. That don't mean anything to me, but that's what it means in Greek. But it says it means wasteness. It was wasteness. In other words, it wasn't good for anything at this point. It was completely useless. There was nothing that could be done with this earth at that point. The scripture said that it was wasteless, that there wasn't any type of form to it. I want you to think about this, that think about your life before the Lord showed up in it. Think about your life before Jesus Christ saved you. And you may have been a young person. You may not have been very old. I know some that was 4 or 5 years old. And I know some that was 21 like I was, and some was older. I've talked to people who was 80 years old when God found them, and I've talked to some that's always up to 90s and different ages. But one thing that you'll never hear anybody say is that there wasn't a difference made in their life when God showed up. I promise you that every single heart that has ever been born, that's ever been born of a woman, was a sinner. The Bible tells us that. And when you're a sinner, guess what you are? You are useless. You are wasteless. Now, we know that God loves us, and God still has a plan. And God's plan is that all men come to Him. But it plainly tells us that without Him, it is a wasteness. Our life was just a glob of wastefulness. It was no good for anything. I remember that day. I remember when I was young, and I can remember that I was without God, and I didn't know anything of God. I didn't know who Jesus was. I had heard about Jesus, but I didn't know about Him. I can remember when God began working on me, when God began pulling my heart toward His, and I can look back now, and I can see all the wastefulness that I was and all the useless that I was. I could have done many things for God more if I'd have come to Him earlier. But I didn't. I spent that time without God. Now, I went to Bible school. I'd heard about Him. I went to Sunday school with my grandmother some. I'd heard about Him. But I didn't spend a lot of time in church. And I think back to a time when I was 15 years old, and I had an accident, a vehicle accident, and it threw me out of that truck right close to where Bobby Garner lives. And I remember, I don't remember much about it, but I remember waking up in the hospital, and I didn't realize what had been given to me at that point. And I went on down through life, and at 21 years old, God began calling me, and I got saved. And at that point, I could look back, and I thought about what a blessing it was that God spared me on that day. If I had died in that condition, you know what? Hell would have been my home. And the wastefulness and the youthfulness that was in my life, it wasn't any good for anything for God at that point. But listen, when God moved in, something began to happen. When God moved in, something began to take form. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Listen to what this says. And I got to learn how to look at this thing. Y'all got me spoiled with that wall back there. We had something happen, and it messed up our projector back there for time being. So y'all going to have to bear with us here. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12. Is it supposed to come on this thing, Corey? If it ain't, I'm going to have to turn there like old fashioned. Let me turn around and read it. I didn't think about that. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, thank you, Paul. God sends everything for a reason. But think about this. For the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Can you imagine living in a time when you had no hope? Living at a time when you had nothing to look forward to. You had absolutely, you didn't know what was going to happen after this life. And I remember back, and I don't know if I ever thought about it much at 15 or 16 years old about what life held after death. I don't know if I ever thought about it very much. But now I look back, and it scares me to death those times that I was out on the road without God. The times that I was out in life without God and the dangerous things I've done. I would get on a motorcycle and go way faster than you're supposed to. And if I had got killed, what would have happened? And I remember I'd get in a car and go way faster than you're supposed to. And listen, at that point in my life, I had no hope. But thanks be to God, there was one day that He came in. There was one day that He began drawing me. And the moment I said yes, guess what happened? I got some form to my life. I got some form, and I began thinking what a great message we have about form. We had just been allowed to start building our building down here. And the guys came last week and they put up forms around that thing. You know why they formed that up? It's because where concrete wouldn't be all out in the yard. They formed it up where that concrete would be exactly the place it needs to be for our building to set on it. And we got a foundation with that form. And thank God that when he saved me, Rudy, he gave me a foundation. The scripture said there's no other foundation that can be laid which has already been laid by Christ Jesus. There's no other way that I have to worry about my life being founded on anything but Jesus Christ. But thank God that day he came in and he gave some form to my life. He gave some form to it. Boy, what a blessing it is to think about. I was just all over the place without him. And y'all probably say, well, you are all over the place now. And I am. But listen, without him, I wasn't a mess. Without him, I was all over the place. But now, spiritually speaking, I have got some form to me. I've got some form, not because of anything I've done, but because of who he is, and because when he moved in, things got some form. Now think about this, that earth was out there. I don't know exactly what it looked like, but the scripture says it was without form. It was useless, it was wasteness, and then God began moving upon this thing. And this thing began taking shape and looking like something. Have you ever seen pictures of space where they look back on the earth, and man, is it not a beautiful, a blue, a looking ball thing you've ever seen, and it's beautiful, and they show on there where you can see the lights even of some cities, and you couldn't see it in my house right now. We don't have any, Paul. Can you help me with that? He works for the power company. But listen, they say you can look back and you can see the lights and how beautiful this thing is. And all the waters are exactly where they're supposed to be. And all the trees are like they're supposed to be. And everything is just perfect. And you know what that come from? The creationists can say what they want to. I mean, the ones that believe in evolution and all this other mess, they can believe what they want to, brother. But I believe and say it is what it is today because God moved in. Because God showed up, the earth got some form. And because God showed up in your life, you got some form. You begin thinking, what in the world has this got to do for our church? What has it got to do? Listen, this affects our world. This affects our church. And it affects our lives today. Unless God shows up, we're all without form. No form. Let's go on a little bit further. Void. The word void. The Hebrew word for it, I don't know how to pronounce it. I think it's bohu. It says it means emptiness. It was empty. Think about your life today. Again, before the Lord showed up, what was in there? What was in your life? The scriptures go through and tell us that of all the things that filled our lives before the Lord, adulterers, murderers, haters of men, all kind of bad things was in there. It was empty. Those things are no good for anything but to be thrown out. And I want you to think about this today as we preach this message about how you was. I want you to think about yourself without this form and without God of how empty you truly was. Think about that emptiness. There was absolutely no hope. At Christmas time, where we're fastly approaching, you hear many people who have lost loved ones, who have lost all kind of different things, that we've been telling you that this is one of the hardest times of the year for them to go through because they feel so empty because of what they lost. And I understand that. I haven't been to the point where I've lost a spouse or a child or a mother or daddy even. I still have all of that, and thanks be to God for it. But listen, I know where y'all must be coming from. I can't feel it because I've not been there. But I can imagine the emptiness you must be feeling. But may I tell you something today? That there's one that can fill that void. There's one that can fill that void. It's the one that the whole world searches for forever. You begin talking to people. What do you want to find in life? And people will tell you, I want to find my meaning. I want to find the meaning for my life in this world. I want to find what God has for me to do. The lost world don't know to say that word, but that's what they're saying. I want to find what I'm supposed to do. And listen, without God, you'll never find that. God created a boy. He created every person to worship him. It's created. You can go to scientists and they'll tell you that they've done all these tests on our brain, and our brain is designed to worship. It's designed to worship something. Now listen, we begin worshiping all this empty stuff, trying to fulfill that void that is there that can only be filled with Jesus Christ. And you look at it, and one way that word void can mean a vacuum. Can mean a vacuum. It can mean a great hole there that something is missing. Now listen, God created this thing, and we all know what it is today. But just think if you could have looked at it and seen when God first started. When God brought some form to it, you begin to say, what in the world is he doing with that thing? I don't understand what he's doing. He made this thing. Boy, it looks pretty. But listen, it's empty. It's empty. I see many people, you meet them on the street, you meet them in other facets of life, and you come upon them, you'll say, well, that's a good-looking person. Well, that person looks like he's got it together. How many of y'all watch those Hallmark movies and everything looks perfect? Looks perfect, and it started snowing, and then some of our congregation made some videos of themselves kissing in the snow like they're little teenagers and all this stuff. But listen, everything's just perfect in those movies. And you see how everything just looks perfect. Let me tell you something. Life is not that way sometimes. Life is not perfect. Only does a life become perfect, does a life become meaningful when God shows up. When God moves in, does a life become what it's supposed to be? You've all met those people. I got off track, Paul, with that one. But you've all met those people who just seem like they have it together. You seem like they've got everything going. Everything is in order. Their house must be the cleanest house in town. Their children are the best behaved children in the world. Everything is just perfect in their lives. They got the prettiest cars. They got the prettiest homes. They got the prettiest yards. Man, they got everything together. I want to tell you something. They can be all that beauty and still be empty. And still be empty. Because only relationship with Jesus Christ is one become full. Does one become complete and useful and is able to be used as this was? Now think about our beautiful world that God made, our beautiful earth that he created. And he put form to it. And it was void of all the beauty he had made. Now think about this for a minute. Of all the beautiful things he made in our world, if you've ever been to Alaska, it's beautiful. If you've ever been to the Caribbean, it's beautiful. If you've ever been to some of the places out west, and it's beautiful, but I don't know of anything much prettier than Cleveland County when it has power. Amen. It's beautiful. We live in a beautiful place. We live in a beautiful thing. But now think about this. If God made all of this stuff, he created all this beautiful world, and there was nothing inside it, what good would it be? Wouldn't be any good for anything, would it? Wouldn't be nobody to see it. Wouldn't be nobody to live in it. Nobody to enjoy it. Nobody to take of it. And it's just like God is. He's there for every person to take of. He's there for every person to eat of, if you want to say it that way. He's there for every person to put in their lives. And well, why in the world would people go through this life and be empty? Why does people choose to go through this life and be empty without him? I wish I could answer that one. I can't. But I see the people that struggle. You know why drug addiction is there? Because they're trying to find something. You know why alcoholism is there? Because they're searching for something. You don't know why people try different relationships? Because they're searching for something. It all goes back to trying to fill a void that God put there that was meant to be filled with him, that people try to replace him with everything else. You can keep on, you can keep on, you can buy the newest trucks, you can buy the newest cars, and man, is it not fun? Not funny how we know this, but we still jump out and do it. We'll go buy a brand new truck with a payment we can't afford, and I've done it many times, and man, I'm so excited about it. I'll even look out the window to make sure it's still there the first couple nights, and then I keep it clean. I get all the stuff out of my kids leave in it, and that, man, it gets me getting mounted up. Y'all know how it is, and I'll do all those things. I'll check oil in it every day. I'll do all these great things for it, and then after about 2 months, it's just a truck. Just a truck. Then all of a sudden, I'm watching TV, and a new truck shows up on the thing. The new F-250s, they're pretty. Now they'll show up on there, and you'll say, man, I wish I had one of them. And then you get one of them, and guess what? 2020, they'll come out with a new one. 2022, there'll be another new one. What I'm telling you today is you can never fulfill life with things. It'll always change. But listen, when once you get God in your life, there's never a new model coming out. He is who he said he was. He's that way. He says, I am that I am. He was that way in eternity past. He'll be that way in eternity future. You never have to worry about him changing or having the latest model or the most gigabytes or any of that stuff. He is always who he is. He's filling. Completely filling. Wait, I've tried it. I've done it. I've tried to replace him with things. It won't work. I've tried to replace his what he put in my life. I've tried to fulfill it with other things. It won't work. Listen at Job chapter 15, verse 31-32. It says, let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. Listen to this again. 31, let me back up here. Let him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. It shall be accomplished before his time, and his branch shall not be green. You remember hearing that word, vanities, anywhere? We went through Ecclesiastes in our Sunday school. Man, a great study about it. You'll hear Solomon say something
over and over again about vanities, about emptiness, about being this empty. And surely it must be important to God that we understand something, that without him we're empty. Solomon says it, I don't know how many times, Ecclesiastes. Job tells us about it here, about being empty. He's telling us, in other words, nothing else will work but God. I want you to understand that today. If we try anything but him, it will not work. So here he is. He created this world we live in. He put form to it, but it was void. It was empty. It was empty. Listen to what else happened. He saw, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And everything in the morning was the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament, divide the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed it is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed it was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. You know what he's doing? He's filling a void, isn't he? He's putting something there. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament, and heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be signs for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that fly upon the earth, and open firmament of the heaven. God began filling this thing completely. Listen to this. God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed him, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowls multiply the earth. In the morning and evening were the fifth day. God said, let there bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl there, and over everything that hath moved upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in which the fruit is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl there, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he hath made, and behold, it was very good. He filled it. He filled it. That was a lot of reading to show you something. He filled it. Who filled it? God filled it. He come in, it was without form, it was without void, and God filled it, number one, with trees. He filled it with the creatures in the oceans. He filled it with the birds of the air, and then his greatest creation that he made was you. He said, let us create man in our image after our likeness. And if you'll notice, after every one of those other things, the Bible says that God said it was good. But what happened after he made man and he saw that this thing was complete as far as being filled, what did he say? It's very good. It's very good. And when today we begin thinking how empty we are and how things are so bad and I've got it so rough. And can I tell you something, that you're made in the image of God today? You made in the image of the man who designed everything this earth. He designed you perfectly, whether you're short, tall, skinny, fat, gray-headed, no hair, it don't matter. He created you in a perfect way. You're to be just like him. He made you that way. And listen, he said that it was very good. Why? Because he realized something was coming forth. Something was coming forth. I had to read you that to kind of get ahead of myself to show you he filled it. But there was one thing missing. Before he began creating all that stuff, it was still dark. Darkness. He talks a lot in Scripture about a soul without him is dark. And think about about this. We begin looking at people and saying, why in the world do they not have Christ? Why will they not come to the Lord? Why will they not be saved today? And the Bible teaches us that they are blind. They cannot see. They cannot see that they need God. They cannot see what they're missing out on. And I remember a time when I was blind. I remember a time when I was spiritually blind, but also I remember a time when I was almost physically blind. As those of y'all know, I do have one eye that I can't see out of. And after I got that thing hurt, I went back to work about 3 months later, and I got to work, and I worked at a concrete place, and immediately I got a piece of a small stone in my good eye. Hadn't been back a week, y'all. I was already down and out, complaining and whining and moaning why I had to miss all this work. And I went back, and immediately I got this piece of stone in my eye, and I woke up that morning, I was almost completely blind. Let me tell you something. If you have never been there, you don't know what it's like to be without your sight. You don't know what it is to be not to be able to see what you're doing. But may I tell you that one day, spiritually speaking, you was in this condition. You was in this condition. You was completely in darkness. You didn't see the need for Jesus Christ. You didn't see the things of Jesus Christ. You was completely dark. And could you imagine all these things I read to you about the earth, of how God created it and how he put form to it. And he filled it with all these great things, with the trees and the birds and all this. But can you imagine how it would be if you wasn't able to see it? Can you imagine being blind and somebody explaining to you the Grand Canyon? You couldn't comprehend it. That's why when we go and tell people about Jesus Christ, or they hear him preached about it, or hear him sung about, they begin saying, I don't see it. I don't see it. And you're saying, how in the world can't you see this thing? It's clear in front of you. It's like telling a blind man, why can't you see the Grand Canyon? You're standing right here beside it. Why can't you see the fall time, that the beautiful leaves, you're standing there and you're looking at them? Why can't you see it? They can't see it because they're blind. They're blind. Do you know when light comes? When God shows up. When God shows up. I can remember my life. I can't talk about what you experienced because I wasn't there with you. I was there with me, but I remember as me and Stephanie got married, and God began drawing my life to him. I remember I was riding down the road one day. I had been sent for where I worked somewhere, and I never even told her this. I was listening to a radio, and I decided to turn on the station. When I did, gospel music come on. And I said, I'll listen to this just a minute, see what it says. And I began listening, and God began drawing. And then we went to church another time, and God began drawing through a play some kids done. And then God kept drawing, and then I tell you, I wasn't going to be around that. I was going to get away from it. So we had planned a honeymoon we got married in December and didn't have a single dime to her name. So we had saved up probably a little money. We was going to go on a honeymoon in June down at Panama City Beach with her family. I go down there, and we just had planned. We were going to do the things that the world does when they're in Panama City. We was going to have a good time, Brandon. And we went down there, and you know where I stayed the whole time? I stayed in the bathroom praying and crying. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't understand it. So the only thing I knew to do is what we were born to do. I had to call Mama. I called Mama, and I told y'all before, I wasn't raised in church. How my father was saved at a younger age, just had gotten out of church as we was kids. But I called Mama, and she said, do you want me to call the local pastor there? I said, I don't know what I need. And she said, well, I'm going to call him, and when you get back, can you meet with him? So I said, yeah, I'll do anything. I got to have some relief. So I remember driving all the way back on 431 and how miserable I was. My mind was just all a mess. And I got back to Muscadine, and I met Alton Stamey that day at that church, and he began telling me the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was on the second pew, and you know what I remember? I remember opening my heart to him. And I remember at that point that light come in. And you know what happened at that point in my life? It got some form. It got some fullness. It got some light. And at that point in my life, God showed up. It made a difference in me. And since that day, I have failed him a million times. But it's never changed the fact that God showed up. That God showed up. You see, if you're saved today, you have a similar story. There was a time when you was in darkness. He showed you light. And he began filling you. God showed up. You can go through this thing forever. You can preach many scriptures about when God showed up. You can speak much about what happened at your time when God showed up. Everybody's story is different. That's why I love hearing them. Boy, I love the old testimony services used to have in churches when people stand up and begin talking about when God filled them, about when God touched them. And you see how different God works in everybody's life. But the one thing that cannot be left out, if a person is saved, the one thing that cannot be left out, if good things is happening in the church and the community, the one thing that cannot be left out, the one common factor that holds all of it together is God showed up. God showed up. I was reading about other places in the scripture about when God showed up. You know, this God we serve is a great God. Do you know he also has a sense of humor? He has a sense of humor. He enjoys having fun. I read about when the children of Israel was at the Red Sea. I thought, man, what a great story I can preach about when God showed up and how he got them into that sea. And have you ever paid attention about how he kept them there? He took the wheels off their chariots. That's funny to me. He got them right there in the midst of that, of where that dry ground was. He took the lug nuts off of that thing and pulled their wheels off, and they couldn't pull them. They were stuck. And I believe he was giggling. I believe he was enjoying it. Listen, there's many times throughout the scripture where you can read about where God showed up. And I could preach about them all day. Y'all probably weren't ready to get something to eat, but I could preach about them for hours. But the one thing I want you to see, I want you to understand something is, there'll be no difference in your life. There'll be no difference in our church, no difference in our community until God shows up. Until God shows up. You see, I think the problems we have in our churches, I'm guilty. The problems we have in our communities, and I'm guilty. The problem we'll have in our whole world, and I'm the guiltiest of the guilty, is thinking about how I can do something. What can I do? You know what I found out? Laying in my bed at 3 o'clock the other morning, I can't do anything. I couldn't have created this world. I couldn't have created light. I couldn't have created the sun, the physical sun. I couldn't have created any of this thing. I couldn't have put the seeds where they belong. I couldn't have done any of this thing. You know what else I couldn't have do? I couldn't even have saved my soul from hell. I can't even make the air I breathe. I can't even make the water I drink. I can't even make the dirt I stand on. I can't even make anything. My life is without form, is without void, and is dark. Until God shows up. What about you today? I know we're small in number today. But what about you? Has there been a time in your life? I'm not talking about a time you joined the church. Has there been a time in your life when God showed up? You see, you study the scripture and you'll find out something. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. It's not about coming to church every Sunday. It's not about doing all these things we do, although they're good. And the Bible teaches we should do them. But if you're saved today, it's because you've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. At some point, he showed up in your life. And until then, there can't be a difference. You can try all the, you know, the number one selling books in our country today are self-helps. You can go look, there's self-helps of how to help yourself through this, how to help yourself through that. They've got all this stuff for dummies. They probably got horse riding for dummies, Pat. They got all these things for dummies. And listen, it was written for me. Because everything I do these days, I have to Google it nearly to figure out how to do this thing. But in your life, has there been a chance, has there been a time, has there been a point when God showed up? Church, I'm praying mightily for us here. I'm praying mightily for all the churches around. Because, you see, we want to hoard this thing up. We don't say we want it to have New Harmony, not happen nowhere else. That's baloney. That, what makes you think God is going, what makes you think he's going to set us aside? He expects us to pray for him to show up in all areas of our churches, our lives, and for each other. I'm going to ask you something today, and you don't agree to it if you're not going to do it. Will you pray for God to show up in our church? You pray for God to show up. It don't matter how, we can have 100 people show up here. And boy, we can have a good time, we can get emotional, we can have all these things, and when more people's here, it tends to bring a little more excitement, but I'm afraid many times it's emotion. But I promise you something. When God truly shows up in a heart, life, or a church, there'll be some differences. It'll be evident. Oh, how is it evident? We're going to go outside in a few minutes and you look around. Even though it's snowy and it's cold and it's miserable, this is a beautiful earth he's created. At one point, this thing was without form. At one time, it was empty. At one time, there was no light. You would have stepped out and it'd been total darkness. It's evident. What happens when God shows up? Lord willing, we're going to continue through December the 24th preaching about times in history when God showed up. I had a Bible professor at the college I go to that, do you know what history is? You know what the history is we study? His story. It's his story. We're going to preach about some of the times in his story that he showed up. We come with a verse of invitation. Come with a verse. By everyone would please stand. I think a lot of the problems we have in our lives and our churches and different things is with pride. Well, Lord, I just can't come forth. They'll think I've done something. Lord, I can't decide today I'm going to follow you. I might want to get home, but I've been doing this, and I don't want to be known as living a lie. Listen, don't let pride keep you from heaven. There's been people of all ages that's come and been saved from realizing something, that they never had a time in their life when God showed up. A time in their life when God drawed them to be saved. My prayer is today, boy, what a better Christmas gift they would be than knowing that you received the perfect gift at Christmas, your salvation. You may be here and you may have been saved for years. You may have had a time when God showed up. Have you allowed it to get to a point, your relationship with him to get to a point where you just can't see it? Where you just can't see the goodness, to see what he's doing in your life? You may be here this morning, you may be ready to give up. You may be ready to quit. You may be ready to give up on God. You may be ready to give up on the things of life. One thing that's sad this time of year is suicide is at a very high rate. Because people lose sight of what God has done. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying it's a sickness. It is. It's something that they lose sight. What we should do, we should pray for them. We should be there for them. We should help them. If you're in any of these conditions this morning, it's my prayer that God will show up in your life. We watched that. I may be telling how un-Christmas I am, if that's a word, but we watched, what was that? A Wonderful Life movie last night. First time I've seen it, and I'm just over 20. First time I've ever saw it, and you know what happened? I had this message on my heart, and as that guy standing there on that bridge, God showed up. He did. What happened? The angel was down there in the water, wasn't he? He jumped in the water, and he told that guy, he said, from you jumping in to save me, you saved yourself. God showed up. God showed up in your life today. As we sing this verse, will you come? Will you come today? Seated, we'll come forward and take up our regular Sunday morning's tithes and offerings.